Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for sharing the podcast. We've got Pastor Mark Henry with us. We're going to get to him in a minute, but I want to mention a men's conference coming to Green Bay this Saturday. It is Men of Iron. The website is menofironconference.com, Green Bay, Wisconsin, One Way Christian Church. Pastor Matt Truella speaking. He's with Missionaries to the Preborn and DefyTyrants.com. Pastor David Roth, he's a pastor of One Way Christian Church in Green Bay. And Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, coach, speaker, founder of Pass the Salt. One Day Men's Conference in Green Bay. So guys, you still have time. It's coming up this Saturday, February 28th. From 8 to 4. So one more thing real quick about our conference coming up May 1st and 2nd. Please share the links if you are on social media. We're somewhat censored, suppressed, shadow banned. We're used to it. We don't like it. But you, if you have a social media account, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever you're on, please share. There's a video with all the speakers. There's the conference, worldviewmattersconference.com, whatever you can do to help us get the word out. Thank you. And we're still looking for churches or ministries to sponsor. We've got a good number of them so far, but we can use more. So let me know if you're interested in finding out. There's a link right on the website that says sponsor right at the top of Worldview Matters Conference. So Pastor Mark Henry, we're so blessed to have you back, brother. Thank you. So much to talk about. Good to see you.
Good to be with you, David.
Good to be with you. I love the topic. You want to talk about brainwashing. You know, we hear that word, and it just sounds so, no, there, it's not really brainwashing. Well, if you consider the propaganda and the talking points and all the noise out there, and then you consider the spiritual warfare aspect and what the enemy does, I think we can call it brainwashing, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just talk to us a little bit about first what's happening in Minnesota. I know we could spend a whole episode on that, but just share your heart on what's going on. And I haven't talked to you in a while since the whole Somali fraud thing was that blew up and ICE went to Minnesota. I don't think I've talked to you since then. So share whatever you'd like, brother.
Yeah, let me just start with a story. Jared and I were out at the 412 campus in Southern California. We had gotten to Palm Springs Airport, and we're getting ready to fly back here to Minnesota, and my phone starts pinging. It just starts going nuts, you know, and people are looking at me, and I'm like, oh, great. I'm one of those people that, you know, doesn't shut their ringer off. And I look down, and I knew it was bad because all of these different people are you know, sending me a text message about the shooting of Renee Good. And I literally, David, just like, just almost collapsed in the chair. And I looked at Jara, she was sitting to my left, and I said, I am not getting on that plane and going back to Minnesota. And, I just said, I don't emotionally have the bandwidth. I mean, we've got through COVID, we got through all of the, you know, George Floyd stuff.
Black Lives Matter. Yeah.
Oh man, we got, and all of that pressure. I mean, church splits, people leaving, people angry, death threats. I mean, just it goes on and on and on, right? And I'm like, I don't want to do this again. And I'm not getting on that plane. She looked at me and said, act like a man, get on that plane and get back to Minneapolis. and so, we would, of course, did that. And we got back. But that's exactly what happened, because I knew as soon as it started what the narrative was going to be. Yep. ICE are bullies. They're aggressive. How dare you? Don't you have compassion for your neighbors? And so this whole concept of brainwashing and how it's affecting the U.S. and specifically the emotional drain that it's happening to, I think, all of us across the United States, and especially those of us living in the upper Midwest during this time, is massively important to understand. I don't know. Are you feeling that where you're at?
We don't feel what you're feeling. I just see the confusion even in the church. Confusion is one thing. Because the news is the news doesn't report the news. The media doesn't report the news. And by the way, Jeff, could you pull up the Media Research Center on Apple News. I just want Mark to see this. This is very interesting. It goes into propaganda and brainwashing, what we're talking about. It took Apple News 100 days to publish a right-leaning article in its morning editions. And look at the numbers, 1,379 to 1. So Media Research Center, MRC.org, Newsbusters, they do great work, and they talk about how often the media just constantly criticizes Trump, tries to find something bad about government, about ICE, about this administration. And the lopsided numbers, like 90 to 2 or something like that, when it talks about stories. So this is what the general public, whether you're in Minnesota or Green Bay, Wisconsin, or anywhere else in the country, you're getting, depending on what who you listen to and who your sources are, you're generally getting biased information that are not telling the whole story. And we lose the fact that we do have laws on the books in this country, don't we? And they're enforcing the laws. And we miss the fact that Tom Homan said he used to, they deported a lot of illegals under, I think it was Obama and Biden, many more so than they're doing now during Trump. But because the left has ramped up this attack Trump effort and the money pouring in from George Soros and the far left with the, you know, professionally printed up signs. So they're manufacturing another crisis. Go ahead, Mark. I know I kind of got going there.
The brainwashing is really important to understand. That's just not a term you throw out. This is what the definition of how things unfold with brainwashing. It is a process of pressuring someone to adopt a radically different belief by using systematic, that's the key word, systematic and forcible means. So if I'm trying to brainwash you, it doesn't matter if it's talking Mao in China or if you're talking the Soviets in the past, or what is happening right now by the socialists across the United States, and it's all wrapped in freedom of speech, and we have these rights, and of course you don't have any rights, and you're going to adopt our vocabulary and so forth. So here's some of the systematic forcible means. Isolation was one. You remember during COVID, I didn't see Grandpa Bill for 1 year. They had him locked down in a retirement facility, and they wouldn't let us in. You're isolated if you're a student, and you don't buy in. You're not going along with everything that they want you to do. And then you got depriving people of different things, whether it's food or opportunities or shadow banning or whatever the case might be. They deprive you of certain things that make your life better, easier. Heat. The Russians have done this. Mao has done this. We see it here. For example, protests taking place against ICE inside churches or inside of businesses, right? We're going to deprive you of having a business here in the state. Or defunding. We see that with different things, or debanking with different ministries. And then, of course, you've got threats. Oh, yeah, the peaceful protesters, and you see the car burning in the background, or the peaceful protesters who are coming in and disrupting a peaceful church service, yes. City church just not far from here. And so the threats that come with that, and of course, the innocent bystanders who are protesting ICE, and they have guns on them, and they're fighting with the officers. They're not innocents. They are fighting against law enforcement, and there's consequences to that. Mm-hmm. Renee Good had been impeding the officers all day long, which is a felony. And then when the officer said, "Get out of the car," and she didn't do it, that's a lawful command according to the people. Say, "Well, I know I have my rights." No, the Supreme Court said when an officer says, "Get out of the car," you got to get out of the car.
Yeah.
Then to try and run an officer over, and then to have our officials stand up and say, "Oh no, she was peaceful. She didn't even have a weapon." And I looked at some people this last couple of weeks, and I just said, "You know, I had a dog that was killed by a car." And so we train all of our dogs now where they get to the corner, crossing the corner, they have to stop, they have to sit, we teach them to look both ways. You teach your kids to do that. Why? Because cars kill people. Mm-hmm. 45,000 Americans die every year in car accidents with drunk drivers. So again, they say these things, and that's part of the whole brainwashing thing that's happening. But here's what's really scary to me, David, is this is not just happening with us adults. It's happening to our children. So think about the high schoolers that are out protesting ICE right now. And they have been, since they were 8 or 9 years old, part of this brainwashing process.
Yes.
Of telling them, you know, you need to be compassionate or whatever. And I would suggest to you that's the front that parents and grandparents and grandparents need to start like getting on task and saying this is unacceptable.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a couple more minutes. Let's just park here just for a minute or two, because the K through 12 system in America is designed, not originally and not, you know, by a lot of Christians would prefer it to be a different way. It's designed to put out social justice activists and leftists, people who do not adhere to the biblical worldview. In fact, they are hostile toward Christianity or Christian principles. This is just some of the bad fruit, Mark Henry, of taking the Ten Commandments and the Bible and prayer out of schools. And you got to fill that big void with something. And they certainly did in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. We've got LGBTQ flags. We've got the transgender indoctrination. We've got Black Lives Matter Global Network. You know, they're all into the system of the school. Now it's anti-ICE, anti-Trump. By the way, students were encouraged by their teachers, public school teachers, to go out and protest. This is across the country, not every school, not every teacher. But students, young people as young as middle school, were encouraged to go protest. They didn't even know what they were doing, a lot of them. But they held up the signs, F Trump, F ICE. And I'm holding some of the word back. You know what I'm saying? So what's the message the students are getting to where they are okay with going along with this? Mark, is that peer pressure? Is that they're doing it for attention? Or do you think these kids are starting to really believe what they're saying, what the protests are about?
My observation is they're actually buying in. But you got to understand, this, what's happening in America started 60 years ago. But really in the last 10 years, this whole social justice ramping up of the whole social agenda has become psychologically, what I say is the professionals, the PhDs got involved and they said, how do we flip this? Because a lot of what's happening was done in to a lesser degree or not as a such a refined way by the Chinese, by Mao after World War II. And that was how they took over China, the Great Revolution of China. And if you look back at that, you know, 65 million Chinese were killed by the communists. And of course, you've got a lot of Americans now saying, you know, China's the model and that's what we need. Well, that's what they're doing to our children. So let me just kind of a couple observations I've made. The high school students are buying in because they want to be heroes. They want to have some sort of agenda. They got to take another step back and say, my generation, when I was going through high school and so forth, we were starting to get a dumbed down education at that point. Now we don't have an education at all. In the grade school ages, they're telling students, you know what, you just got to learn to be kind. You got to be compassionate. We'll come back to that in a minute. And then the high school students, now this is your time to be activated. You don't know how to read. You've never heard of Mao. You don't know anything about World War II. You don't know that our soldiers fought against socialism and communism in the past. You don't know that America's the greatest country and it has Christian roots. You don't know any of that. But you can do something great now. You can be a hero. You can oppose ICE. But it's predicated on what they learned in grade school. And I want you to just kind of bear with me for just a second. Think about this. In grade school, the way they seduce our children is you need to be compassionate. Don't bully. Now, let's give you some examples of that. If you say to a boy who goes into a girl's bathroom, you can't do that. You're bullying him. Why are you being mean to him? We have flipped what is good and what is evil. When you and I were growing up, we knew. You looked at the boy and you said, you're not going in the girl's bathroom, and you got a swat or whatever the consequences were for that action. You protected the girls. You knew who to protect and who to rebuke. And now we've switched that.
Wow.
Or you think about what's happening with, again, the younger grades, like third graders and second graders. They come out with these books and they say, immigration. Imagine what it was like if somebody took you away from your family. Now, never mind. I've traveled all around the world preaching the gospel. And in every country I go to, I have to come in at an entry point and I have to go through a legal process to get in. They give me a visa, which is a temporary grant to come into that country. And if I don't do that, there's consequences. If you go into Qatar, for example, and your flight is canceled, if you're there longer than 24 hours, you automatically get thrown into jail and then you're deported. How is it that Canada can do that? How is it that the UK can do that? How is it that Australia can do that? How is it Qatar can do that, but not America? See, these are laws. And then when somebody enforces those laws, now, again, think about the whole woke agenda and the whole, you know, oppressive sort of ideology of socialism. Parents oppress their children when they correct them. ICE is being bullies like those parents when they correct anybody. And the opposite is true. And so that's why you can't have social order. The other day, Jared and I went and had lunch together, and I was shocked, David, as we're in a this beautiful little town in Minnesota on the Wisconsin border, and there were all of these ladies who were, you know, in their 60s and 70s standing out there saying, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. So now they quote a Bible verse to rationalize someone disobeying the government when it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, that we're supposed to honor God by obeying the king and so forth. We got to be very careful when we disobey authority. And yet, just like Satan, they misquote a verse. And really, quite honestly, citizenship is about loving your neighbor. Mm-hmm. The neighbor next to you, your family and so forth, protecting them from evil. 4,000 people have been arrested here in Minnesota. And two people have been shot. Both of them were opposing ICE agents, threatened their lives. They are justifiable shootings by every basis of any human standard of a law enforcement. That's just a fact. But 4,000 taken off the streets. How many will not overdose on drugs as a result? How many girls will not be kidnapped and raped? I could just go down the list, but no one talks about them. And that again is this typical flipping of things upside down. And this psychological effect is burning, I think, all of us.
Yeah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. And they don't, most of these people don't know they're protecting pedophiles, they're protecting criminals and felons. I don't think they're not understanding that because of this misplaced compassion. Some call it toxic empathy. But we've got to take a brief pause. We're with Mark Henry. Look him up on Facebook, Mark Henry Ministries, or his website, markhenryministries.com. We'll be right back. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. All right, friends, important topic. I love this discussion with Pastor Mark. You also talked about some scriptures that we can go to. I mean, read your Bible, friends, but there are some specific scriptures that you had in mind, Mark, that people can go to during these crazy times. And go ahead and share whatever you'd like.
Yeah. So Jared and I were sitting there in that Palm Springs airport trying to get back to Minnesota. And just emotionally, I knew what was coming. And I knew that there was going to be friends of ours who were going to end up leaving our church, walking out of services, being angry, children that had once attended here, gone to college, now part of the protests. I knew we would get threats in various ways. And I knew that other churches around us, David, listen to this. Westminster Presbyterian Church here in Minneapolis hosted a gathering of hundreds of clergy focused on resisting ICE. And I could list other churches by name.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there going, how do I emotionally survive this, Lord? And then I'm thinking about all my friends, because you got to survive it as well. And so here's four verses that have helped me navigate the past. And they're helping me navigate the present emotionally, spiritually. I mean, how do you keep your mind in the game and honor God and not just give up, to be quite honest with you, because that's what brainwashing does. It wears you down to the point where you just give up and you say, whatever. And so the first one is Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And so the first one, David, that stood out to me was, I just need to constantly remember that the world is always going to get it wrong. The devil's always going to get it wrong. The devil's always going to be pushing us, and it's just always wrong. And so when somebody like our governor gets up or our attorney general gets up and they start rationalizing, saying, you know what, those Christians, you know, meeting They can't keep people out from protesting in the middle of their services because those people have freedom of speech. Why would you believe anything these people say when they can't figure out, for example, men can't have babies? Those guys are all saying men can have babies.
Good question.
If I can't get that right, I probably not going to get a lot of things right in life. Right. So that's the first verse that helped me. Second verse that's helping me and helping our church family is Proverbs 14:7. And it says, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge.
Hmm.
Now, the understood subject is the reader, right? You leave the presence of a fool. Who's a fool? Well, in the Bible, a fool is someone who doesn't fear God, who does their own thing, who loves evil, who sees evil as sport, who mocks God. There's a lot of different descriptions there. But by the time you get this far in Proverbs, you know it's the ungodly person. So leave the presence of an ungodly person. Listen, leave them on Facebook. Leave them as far as the news. I mean, shut it off. Or you and I and our children will not be able to discern the wisdom of God anymore. And that's what's happening. I mean, I see kids coming through churches. They go off to college. Parents come and see me and they say, Mark, I don't know what happened to our kids. You know, we brought them up in church and so forth. And now they're out there marching. They're out there, you know, having sex changes. They're out there affirming everything that's evil that we don't believe. How did that happen? Well, we dropped them off in the presence of a bunch of fools, and none of us are exempt, right?
Yeah, I just want to say, hours of influence, they may have done a good job. A lot of parents, I think, could have spent more time with their kids in the Word of God, but let's just say they did a pretty good job raising their kids in the Lord. The hours of influence, the hours they are away from their parents, with their atheists and hostile toward Christianity friends, social media, education, academia, the media, Hollywood, corporations, they've got all these influences brainwashing or bombarding them. It's no wonder. Years ago, Mark, it may have been the 90s, may have been the 80s, there were studies done that after 1 year of college, a Christian student went against the faith that they were the Christian faith that they grew up in with their family. That was after 1 year of college. That was decades ago. Now, in recent years, children start doubting their families, their Christian faith in middle school. They start doubting. By the time they're in high school, they're gone. It used to be after 1 year of college, but now before they even go to college. I know I'm getting away from the scriptures here, but I do also want to, before I throw it back to you, Mark, Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but we do have to deal with people who are being influenced by the enemy. But I'll let you share a couple more scriptures and edify our viewers and listeners.
Well, that's exactly right, though, David. That's actually one of my main points as I would conclude all of this would be, if you can't see that this is a spiritual battle anymore, because I literally had some people walk out of service and say, you're being political. I'm not being political at all. I'm being theological. Mm. Theology comes down to real practical life, and it comes down to legislation because laws are based upon moral a moral perspective one way or the other. Minnesota is voting on Monday to get rid of religious freedom of churches so that churches have to hire people who are trans and so forth. And it's probably going to pass. I was just on the phone with a senator, and he's like, hey, this is, you know, razor thin whether or not it's going to pass. Hmm. And so here's the bottom line. If you and I are survive the brainwashing, if we're going to help our kids, number one, their whole trajectory of the world is death. Mm-hmm. Number two is, if you stay around them, you're not going to figure out what's right and wrong. You're going to get confused. We're just people. Number three is evil people, Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice. Mm. Those who seek the Lord understand all things. And so when they use our terminology, remember this, they are stealing our terminology, but they have a different dictionary.
Yes.
And so when they say, we want justice. I want justice too. Are you for social justice, Mark? Absolutely I am. But justice by biblical definition and by historical definition, by English definition, go back, look at Noah Webster, is the application of the law so it suppresses evil and that innocent people are protected and secure so they can live a peaceful, joyful life of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But when you look up justice today, if you like do a word search on your computer, it doesn't matter the platform, and do justice, it'll say justice is basically reshaping society to get rid of the oppressor, get rid of parenting, get rid of, it's been redefined.
Yep.
And then the fourth passage, and these are the four that have helped me the most and are helping my friends, and that's Proverbs 12:10. It says, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animals. Even a righteous person who loves God recognizes that caring for animals, compassion towards animals is a good thing. But it goes on. But even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. So when you think about, okay, so think about our governor, think about attorney general, think about our other leaders here in our state, or we could talk our country, but they can't figure out that men can't have babies. And then you're listening to them in all of these other areas. Just remember, when they talk about compassion, it is ultimately cruel. Think about it. These are the people that have been telling us, your kid at 8 years old can tell you parents off, hit your parents, run away from home, come to the state of Minnesota. This will be a sanctuary city. You can have a sex change because we're compassionate. And then they look at someone like you, David, and they say, why aren't you compassionate? Why don't you care about people? It's the total flip of reality. Yep. It is psychosis, global psychosis. Is what we're suffering from.
Yeah, you worded it much more eloquent than me, but they have redefined terms and language and somehow got the general public to buy into their redefinitions. And that's why some Christians are struggling to respond to some of this. So we back into a corner, okay, I'm not going to say anything at all. But that's not the right approach either. We are to be salt and light. The last minute, Mark, whatever you want to share, brother.
Yeah, I would just say to everyone, like, look, recognize brainwashing is taking place. Satan is the great deceiver. He uses all of the means he has necessary at his disposal. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. But he uses all the levers that he can to try and deceive you and I. And just as he was in the garden with Adam and Eve, right there at the very beginning, and said, Eve, there's no consequences if you rebel against God. You surely shall not die. There are consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. When Satan comes along and tries to deceive us and say, God's not looking out for your best interest, just remember, his compassion is cruel. When you think about him being in the garden and he says, did God really say that? Yeah, God really said sin is horrible. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross so you and I can have everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
Amen. Great place to end that with that note. Remember, friends, get in the Word of God. And if you've been out for a while, get back to the Word of God. Mark Henry Ministries, brother, thank you for your time today. See you again soon.
God's grace.
God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.